Welcome to Twos Talk with Tosh, Dino, and Donnie.
Fellas, welcome back to the studio.
Donnie.
Great to see you guys, you know. We've been doing some audio testing because I recognize that this ship is going to sail where you can't come to Lloyd all the time. Summer's going to get busy.
Yeah.
But we've actually tested the audio through the computers, and it sounds pretty good.
I think it's pretty good.
Not as good as this currently.
Like, no,
this
we don't have that face-to-face reaction stuff, right? You know,
I sound like Velvet in here.
Yeah, you do. You're like the fastball version of Ron Burgundy, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
So we've done some testing. That's going to be great. But we got a couple more in the studio, which is exciting. And then we'll try and weasel you back in. I like the face-to-face. It's, I think it's more fun.
It's
more,
better.
Yeah, it's more personal.
Ask us why we're coming through, because you always ask that.
Well, I was getting to that, but okay.
Yeah.
Hey, why? What brings you to town, boys?
Well, depending on when this cast airs, we're on our way to an awesome camp in Bonnyville, or we had an awesome camp in Bonnyville.
Yeah. I think it's going to be before or after.
It's so you can predict the future either way.
I think it's probably going to be after. It'll air after the
camp. We just had an amazing camp in Bonnyville. We're on our way back.
Yeah. What a great town.
Yeah. Taylor Farr, crushing the ball.
Yeah. You're going to look good in that liner blue and orange, let me tell you.
I tell you what. Blocka, awesome at third base.
Page,
Zoe Reese, awesome.
Peyton Ferentz,
Autumn Grace, everybody.
And DeMoisac,
awesome.
There's a pile of them up there. Yeah. Bonnyville might be the fastest growing market for the Twos athletes. Would you think?
Yeah,
I think it is. Yep.
Yeah, lots of talent coming out of there.
54 kids at the camp, man.
That's crazy.
That's awesome.
That's all the kids.
Yeah,
every one of them. Bonnyville, every kid.
Everybody's hungry to get out, right?
Well, I'm not kidding.
Yeah. You know, chomping at the bit to play.
Yep. So we were happy to help them in Bonnyville. Because we assume it went great.
It was amazing.
Oh, great.
It was an amazing camp.
It was really good. Chacho wasn't very good, though.
No.
Just in case she's listening.
She's got some learning to do.
She wasn't very good.
And Riel, one of the parents, he just was always hanging around trying to steal all of our drills and stuff.
Yeah, just like in the ear all the time.
And then you got a guy like Travis Farr who just wants to be around and enjoy the sun. And he just,
that's right.
He's the best.
He's a great guy.
What a great guy.
Okay.
And thank you for hosting us because he's offered to host. We already went. Because this is airing after. It was a great time.
Okay, Chad, enough. This is confusing me. I don't know where we are right now.
So today's guest, another new, I guess not new, it's been in for a year, but a new facet to the Twos program.
Yeah.
Do you want to intro the guest, Dean? Because I don't think you've ever done that.
I'm not really good at it. That's probably why I don't do it.
Hey, no one's going to rise.
I usually
rise,
let the cat out of the bag.
You usually do.
We got Bruce Craven on today.
Bruce Craven.
Brewster, how's it going?
Very good. Great to be here. Exciting to be a part of your show.
So for the listeners at home who don't have the video feed we have, Tosh made a great acknowledgement that he looks like Bill Nye the Science Guy.
He does so.
And he's also a scientist, so we're going to call him Bruce Craven the Sports Science Guy, you know?
That's right. Craven Sports Science. Yeah. That's the... The company.
It's actually Craven Sports Services.
I thought it was Science
Services. No, like if you're going to, like it's on the sign behind his head, bud.
Craven, okay, I got it. All right. Well, he's a coach with us now.
Science is one of the services that we provide.
There you go.
I'm just going to go to the audience here. Would you call that a shot at Dean? What Tosh just did?
No, it's not a shot.
He jumped on me, but
he did. He did jump. He was eager.
Yeah, he was.
That wasn't a shot.
Okay.
This is a shot. How do you miss the big sign behind his
head? There it is.
There's the shot.
So 3:35 into the cast is our very first shot fired by Tosh at Dino.
Yes. Okay. All right.
So, Bruce, we just talked a little bit offline. You hail from Abbotsford, British Columbia. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, there's my home stomping ground. That's where I learned to play fastball.
Wow. So my title is Radio General Sales Manager, and yours is internationally recognized sports physiotherapist in strength and conditioning. That's a longer title, and it sounds like it means a lot more than radio sales guy.
Well, it might, but what I always do is kind of that sport physio, sports science, strength and conditioning thing. And I've been blessed enough to work nationally and internationally, and got to work with Dino and Tosh through the years as part of my international scene of athletes, and then other more notable softball players that went on to the Olympics on the women's side as well.
That's very cool.
So 31 years of experience in this game. You've worked with athletes in 40 different sports. it's a pretty broad range of athletic movements. I guess the first question is, we'll get into how'd you get into this gig that you do now? What turned you into this profession?
Well, actually, it goes way back to grade 9, 10. I really got interested in it from the science sport. I was a hockey guy growing up, played to the junior level, but being a science nerdy guy as well, I was really interested in the science of movement. And then I came out to Saskatoon because I could do a double degree in phys ed and physio. And that was really what got me in and interested. And then really being at the right place at the right time to get involved with many different sports. So I was involved in kind of the beginning of what is now the Sport Medicine and Science Council of Saskatchewan and the Canadian Sports Center in Saskatchewan. I started the Human Performance Center at the University of Saskatchewan. And back in the early 90s, you were kind of like the only guy working in sport at a high performance level here in Saskatchewan. So most of the high performance athletes came through my door from Katrina LeMay-Doan when she was in grade 9, 10, 11 at Holy Cross. So lucky enough to be in that world and then progress from there.
Wow, that's a pretty good start, yeah. Okay, so I guess I want to get into specifically with the fastball athletes you're going to work with in the TWS program. Can you walk us through a little bit of what your program looks for these athletes coming up?
I think the biggest thing that we're trying to work on with the TWS is trying to bridge that gap between what you guys do from a coaching side of bringing that excellence of coaching of the skill and how to create the skill from that level. And then we're kind of looking on the backside of it of what are they missing? Are they missing a strength factor? Are they missing a flexibility factor? Do they not have the coordination or control to be able to do the skill? So that when we take the 100 kids, we're maximizing the growth of all 100 of them instead of using the Chinese model where we're going to take 1 million and we only need 2, so we don't need to really see who's going to develop. We'll just do it by numbers, where we're going to take all 100 and care for them like they're the best and make them the best. Based on their own individual drive and own individual goals.
Okay, so that's a leading question because I'm going to get into something else. I know the three of us, Dean for sure, hockey in the winter, ball in the summer, maybe a school sport in the fall. But we played virtually everything throughout the year. And I think as we see now, there's a lot more specialization in sports where it's hockey year-round or ball year-round or football year-round. Bruce, what's your thoughts on early specialization in sport?
I think that it's super important. And even if you look at the TWS, like these kids might have TWS as their key sport, but they're always playing lots of different things. I think the key for kids, is to play a multitude of different activities, but as long as the activities have some commonality in movement and performance, then that really happens. And I see it a lot. You take a basketball athlete that plays hockey, you take a soccer athlete that plays basketball, they're all spatial awareness, whereas you can have a volleyball player and a softball player, and they're going to have very similar shoulder actions and activities such like that. So the diversity of the skill set is early in the development years. So that comes through diversity, but you need to make sure that you're learning how to do the skills early as well. So
Wayne Gretzky says that too. Wayne Gretzky says that too, but it's just not quite as scientific when he says it.
Yeah.
He's not a scientist though.
That's true.
So
yeah, he's the great one. Right. He's the great one.
He's the great one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Germany, you want a science geeky thing of it, is Germany actually did a study of it back in the early 2000s. Where they found that the kids that came into their sports system that had early specialized before the age of 16 were not their Olympic gold medalists. The athletes that specialized after the age of 16, other than diving, women's gymnastics, and such, that require early specialization, do better when they come into the sport later in life.
Can you give me an example of a sport that requires early specialization?
Women's gymnastics and diving are probably the two most notable.
What about Olympic lifting? Is that something that they need to specialize in, or is it a thing you can learn?
It's a skill that you need to learn, but it can happen later in life.
So even at my advanced age, I can still go ahead and get into clean and jerks, is what you're saying?
As long as you can get into the position.
No. Absolutely not. So that's a no then, Bruce. All right, fair enough.
So sooner or later, being able to... The key to being able to do a skill is you actually have to be able to attain the position. Like, you have to actually be able to get into the position, mm-hmm. be able to stay there, and then hopefully explode out of it if you're in a power sport.
Right.
So, Bruce, okay, so you've worked with a bunch of different athletes, and I mean, you've been a little bit humble so far, and we'll get into some of the, if you want to name drop or whatever, that's going to be kind of cool. But, okay, so outside of Dino... because he's probably one of the most unique athletes you've ever worked with.
What?
Is that a second shot at the 10:55 mark?
Well, I said unique.
Yeah, I guess that's good.
Unique.
Right?
You can take that any way you want. Yeah. But okay, so you just said to Donnie, as long as you can get into the position, what are some of the maybe examples of athletes that maybe started to come to you and you looked at them and went, are you sure you're able to play this sport? I mean, they obviously were playing that sport, but what kinds of things or what kind of unique situations have you seen where maybe that athlete needed, change movement or it was strength? Like, give us a couple stories on how you've turned some things around for some people.
Probably the most notable would be Tessa Virtue. So I got a call from her in 2011. They just won an Olympic gold medal in 2010. And it was kind of like, hey, I need some help. And it was like, I end up in Detroit and we're working on, okay, this is what a basic hip hinge movement is. This is how we're going to learn how to do hip turnout. This is how we're going to work on basic movement patterns and work through those basic movement patterns into, you know, our goal in 2014 was break the world record. We broke the world record, but it was broken 6 minutes later, so they won a silver. But the goal was to take it from, okay, let's use basic movements and go from there. And I think one of the funniest things is it was probably 2012, maybe 2013, we were running into problems. And so I flew down there and within about 15 minutes, we started working on some stuff. And Scott goes, you're telling me we flew you down here to just say, remember to bend at your hips? I said, basically, that's what I came down here for.
I thought you were going to say, well, I did a couple tweaks and all of a sudden she was doing a triple sow cow. Yeah. I always wanted to say that.
Way to drop a figure skating reference on the cast, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's the best of the best do the basics better. That's my tagline that I say all the time. And, you know, even with the best athletes in the world, where they tend to fall apart is they forget to pay attention to the basics and then they run into problems. And it's like, you know, when it's, I'll throw a shot at Dino. It's
of
like,
course.
When
of
it's,
course you will.
At the 1345 mark, we have our second shot at Dino.
Right. When you've got to throw a strike, when you've just thrown three balls, you just got to get back to the basics and turn the brain off and just throw the ball because you know how to do it. And I think too many people forget those fundamental basics and they get caught up in so many other things.
Turning the brain off has never been an issue for Dino, though. So
what's the name of this podcast?
It's the Dean Holein Zinger cast.
But I mean, you're right. And it was good. And when you're talking about the stuff you're talking about getting, you know, being the best at the basics, we're all nodding our heads. I mean, we just stole a tagline from you.
Yeah.
Like that might be the new, it's not get you to the next level. It's we're going to do basics better. That's going to be the tagline of the twos.
Oh, I like it.
Quickly, if there's any safety companies out there that want to sponsor this cast for a fire extinguisher to put out the burns on Dean. But the one thing I wanted, I'm going to point to Tosh on this, but if we're doing an infield drill with the twos and we're having struggles with simply throwing the ball across the diamond, that's where Tosh has said the line before. If we can't throw this ball 60 feet and hit our target, we got to go back right back to the very beginning. And that's what I would say is defensive basics for sure. And that's a great line that Tosh has already used. So maybe Bruce stole from Tosh.
Well, we go way back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, exactly. Tosh, where would the history be on that?
Okay, so
here we go.
Okay, so maybe it was going to be his parting shot and I'm stealing his thunder, but so Bruce and I met in university. So obviously we're both in kinesiology, phys ed at the time, really, but he's on the science side. I'm more on the arts side because my master's degree is in sports history. That's the field, right? So he's took a shot at me talking about carrying dusty old books down the hallway, and he's carrying, you know, these meters and stuff that measure movement. And here I am just kind of a book nerd. Basically.
Anyone else pick up on the fact that Tosh just humble bragged that he has his master's?
Yeah. There is a shot there somewhere. I just couldn't come up with it. Just
when I was getting my master's along with Bruce, we part of the master's club. Yeah. What are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. But Tosh spent way more time in the library with microfiche.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah. Back in the day. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So Bruce, I'm going to, obviously, you can't probably see me on the cast, but not a runner per se. But I remember you doing an instruction with some of our athletes about how to get a proper lead off the first base or second base, and what about your shin angles and what your body's supposed to be doing to get proper explosion off the bag. And I remember being pretty impressed because everybody just, well, like guys like me who don't steal, just sort of stand there. And arbitrarily,
you get a lead. You do your fluff stuff that makes it look like you know what
you're doing.
You
take your token two steps, but I'm not going anywhere. Yeah. Generally speaking, I've got a pinch runner by this point. But I remember watching you and thinking, I don't know if the analogy is right, but if I'm wrong, correct me. But you want to get in a position where you take off almost like a jet, where you start low and start almost like you're falling down fast. Does that make sense? Falling forward?
Yeah, that is exactly it.
Oh, I did remember. That's great because that could have been pretty embarrassing. Yeah. Do you want to walk through that? Because I found that very interesting.
Yeah, and I think that it's the key to running is remembering one thing, that force, which is actually what's going to propel us, is a vector. So it has a direction and a magnitude. And everybody just thinks, I need to lift more weight. But you actually have to lift more weight in the right direction, which again goes back to, can you get into the right position? And in running, shin angle is the vector. Right? It's the direction that you're running.
This is gonna be so cool. Keep going, Bruce. Sorry.
No, this is good. Yeah.
Yep. Keep going. This is awesome.
And the trick is to get that vector going in the right direction and then apply the force. And that's the jet plane taking off. Whereas most people, they get down into they take their two steps, they get really low, they're like, I'm ready to run, and then they pop up like a helicopter. And then try to run into second base. And, you know, you don't want that helicopter because it got to take time to get up and get going. And we want to be fast like a jet plane.
You know,
because they're going to land like a jet plane too.
Yeah.
Right. And that's exactly the same. Like when they land into second base, like as a slide,
you want to
make sure that they're not landing like a helicopter. Yeah, they want to come down and under.
Yeah, see, Bruce, I land like a bomb being dropped from a jet plane, just straight down, just falling. That's all. So that's probably part of the issue, I guess.
I am really honestly excited about this, Bruce, because I know we had you last year, but we just really touched on the surface of some stuff. And I mean, we're just talking about base running right now. And it's like, you know, we do things based on what we've seen, what we've been taught, you know, obviously what our governing bodies have told us to, like in different coaches' clinics and different things. So we go from that side of it, which is not necessarily the science side of it. So even just having an example of something that, and I mean, we've had it before on the pitching side where I'm like, well, Bruce kind of thinks this way. And I'm like, well, that's not how our arm goes. So we are going to have some of those conversations. But if you can show me how Abby Burgess, for example, is going to be able to run, steal a base faster, you know, by you adding a few little tweaks to her leaving first base, and it doesn't correspond with how we've recently taught or whatever, I don't care. Like, that's what you're here for. And I mean, I love the fact that we could be kind of like other programs out there, but reinventing a few things that are going to work better. I, you know, rather than just being 10 years down the road, we're teaching the same stuff. Science has definitely helped every sport, and just having you around is going to be fantastic. So,
yeah, thanks. And I think that the big thing there is that we're going to be world leading. Like, let's not just think about, you know, Saskatoon, Lloydminster, Bonneville. Let's think about, we can create the world's best athletes because we're going to have them over this 5-year period, and we're going to be able to develop them over that time. And that what they learn when they're 12, 13, we're not going to have to reteach them when they're 17, 18 going into college, that they'll have had that growth and development. So again, it's like math. I always use math. It's like 2 + 2 still equals 4 in fifth year engineering, and you learned it in grade 1.
See, well, Tosh didn't get that till about grade 4.
And a Dino fire back.
I was just waiting. I knew there was something there.
You guys are playing insult pong back and forth here. That's fantastic.
You have nothing.
No, I was just going to say, just to another one coming, remind the listeners, there are 2 people on this cast that have their master's degree.
Oh, well, Donnie just already brought that. That's weak.
No,
that's
weak. It's bang on. He already brought it up. It's bang on.
I was bang on 5 minutes ago when it was actually.
I will say this, though. When I did my degree, I was not very strong at stats. So math was not my strong suit.
I know.
Mine either.
Yeah.
May I, please? So I wanted to bring up... I've actually talked to a couple coaches, and I got a great insight from a lady who coaches in Iowa. A couple of our kids have gone there, and she was an All-American pitcher, third baseman, hammered the ball, hurt her shoulder, and just became a hitter. But her message was, at that level, people are doing a lot of the things right already, but somewhere, whether it's in their swing, their backside drive, their leg drive and pitching, they're leaking power somewhere. And is that something that you think this program is going to be able to tighten up? Because these athletes that come to the twos, they're fantastic. They're doing lots of great things, but we're trying to now fine-tune some of the smaller things that give them more explosion, give them more power. Is that kind of the process?
Oh, very much so. And it's, again, we all probably did 1,000 squats in the, say, 2 months that we learned how to go from crawling to standing. And nobody coached us. But the trick is, now we're going to take the fact that these kids have done a bunch of different sports, being involved in a lot of activities where they weren't really coached kind of on technique or basics. And now you got to take that raw talent and you got to funnel it through this program to dial it in so that it's not just, you know, a big bomb, that it's a sniper, right, you know, sniper shot in the right direction. Yeah. And it's back to that force and direction. And the big thing in our society right now, let's face it, is posture. And posture is the direction of the force in our athletes. And most of our, you know, adolescents don't have the best posture. So sometimes it's just working on something as simple as that to get them lined up so that they can generate the force in the right direction.
Interesting. Or, interesting sidebar. Sorry to cut you off. As soon as you said the word posture, yeah, the three of us in this office all sat up straight. We were all kind of hunched over. And we're like, oh, posture, there it is. Yeah. Sit up.
Yep, posture. That's that word. He's like a nagging mother.
Hey, but we all love our moms, though.
Yes, we do.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Bruce, how is I hate talking about the pandemic, but how has that changed how you interact with your athletes?
Really interesting, like twofold of it. Some you've never seen because they're not coming home because they can't travel from A to B. So it's back into the virtual world. And again, just on a sidebar from a business perspective, I've been doing this virtual physio back in the 90s because athletes live somewhere else. And so you had to communicate with them and interact with them in different ways. So we've done a lot on the web. which gives us way more touch points. And I think that that's going to be hugely beneficial for the twos because we can have multiple touch points. The other is I had an athlete that was home for 3 months because she couldn't train in Toronto. So she came here for 3 months and she leaves next week. So it's just interesting from that perspective. But team size is definitely smaller, so the one-on-one is a little bit better from that perspective as well.
Well, good you have access to Zooms or whatever you use the format, because not everyone can just fly to Detroit to tell them to hinge their hips. That's not it. Not everyone has that option, right?
Yeah, and to be honest, if we had the technology and everybody was as used as it is today, I probably would have had more touch points with them and better touch points because they would have been with their iPad or their tablet on the sideline and we could have communicated and watched what they did there. And I could have been here. Not as fun, but...
Hey, Bruce, so a couple of our athletes, and you're going to know, obviously, who I'm going to bring up here, but a couple of our athletes and probably the driving force behind seeking you out to come into our program and help us out in our program came to you for two different reasons. One was India Braithwaite, who came with an injury, and one is Jaden Gaia, who came because she just wanted to be better. Can you talk a little bit about those two athletes and also just how the process varied for them?
Yeah, for sure. Let me start with Jaden, because Jaden actually ended up being kind of your typical athlete in the sense of that she came to us because it was like, hey, I want to be a better catcher. I need a better pop time. I need and want to go play college ball. And she started, you know, fundamental basics, how to move. And she bought in. And that was, again, always the key is, you know, you can bring them to the water, but they have to want to drink. And she came, you know, we always say tasted the Kool-Aid, liked it, and wanted more. And so she kept on working hard and kept at it. And then, interestingly enough, she got hurt. And she got hurt at the beginning of the pandemic. And so we actually did a ton of work via Google Meet is the medium that we use through the pandemic and rehabbed her when she was at the farm. And it worked out really well. It was like you had to get some weights from an aunt. You had to get some weights from this place. And then it was like running the distance of trees on her driveway. So it just was really interesting to be able to build a program. But I could do that with Jaden because she already had the basics. She was already aware. She had already tasted the Kool-Aid and knew what we were talking about. So she was a super successful story because she was dedicated to getting better and she was dedicated to listening to the, you know, the geeky science guy of making it work through and our team. Like she worked a lot with Jill, one of our strength and conditioning coaches. She's the director of our training, who actually went to the Olympics as an Olympian. So has some good creds that way for Jaden. So it was really good that way. Indy, totally different story. I'd worked with the family. I'd actually worked with her mom as an athlete. So had some history and worked with Indy when she was a young kid, but Indy had a really difficult injury to manage and work through from on crutches in the hospital, difficult to problem solve, but the whole time, again, common thread, Indy wanted to get better. And Indy wanted to do the work to get better. And I'll just say this, and this could be another shot at Dino, is the world's best athletes are like big babies. They actually just come.
Okay, that's enough. That's it. That is.
He called you one of the world's best athletes. That's what I heard.
That's what I heard too.
Oh,
I don't care. Okay.
He called you big baby too. He called you big baby
because I'm a big baby and I'm not one of the world's best athletes. So you got that on me.
Oh my goodness.
It's all perspective, Dino.
Yeah.
Because I have this athlete that was just here for 3 weeks. She's going to her second Paralympics. She's just finishing she's doing her PhD right now. And like she said, I just love it. I wake up in the morning. I look at a piece of paper. It tells me what to do. I do it and I'm done. I don't have to think about anything else. Just do what I'm told. And it's your job to make me better, i.e. the team that works with her. And that's the relationship that, you know, we're going to have with the twos is that we want these kids to not really have to think a ton other than to think about how they're doing what we're asking
the process
them to do. And it's project management. We're going to get them when they're, you know, 13, and we're going to develop them into great athletes as they want to develop and achieve it at the end. And Indy did that. And Indy, Indy and I have a pretty amazing relationship where we've become great friends along the way. And she just does the work. She's one of the hardest working, get stuff done athletes that's worked. And one of your newest, I'm just going to give you another athlete that just absolutely amazes me from the two is Bree Burgess. Like, she is my golden child right now. Mm-hmm. Her learning curve of learning Olympic lifts is just unbelievable. But again, it's taking somebody that's got skill, teaching them the basics, then you let that basics, the skill and the knowledge, and boom, it's gone.
So she has the ability to get into the position is what you're saying. So the hope here, we talk about our athletes all the time, and they're doing, like we said, lots of great things. They have lots of power. They have lots of drive. What we're hoping is as you work with these athletes, they get a little bit stronger, a little bit more form correct, so that the drills we're asking them to do become easier, so that your body's actually working. You're not just doing things because it's just athletically what you do. We're actually going to give them the science behind the movements. Is that right?
Totally correct. Yep. We're going to teach them the how around their why. That's the jargon term. But yeah, it's like teaching them how, not giving them what.
Brewster, I got a question here. So just more of a, with young athletes, coordination is such a big, you know, key. Like what I've noticed, just personally over the years, it's like it's hard to predict. You know, and I know that's going to be part of your job is predicting, some of where these athletes can go, you know, and I mean, everybody's not going to be the same. We can't build robots. Different ages develop, or, you know, kids are going to develop at different times. Is there something with coordination that, you know, we've maybe either overlooked, or is there something we can do to help, from our standpoint, help somebody kind of progress through that? And say, like, I just kind of sit and I see it as pitchers, and it's like Army was one, you know what I mean? Army's a great athlete. She, you know, but over the last little while, everything's just, it's coordination. Everything clicks. She just looks like a different pitcher, you know? How do you predict when that happens? She didn't do any new drills. You know, it wasn't anything new that we did. It just all of a sudden, she started to smooth out her rhythm, and she's probably throwing 5 or 6 miles an hour faster. We have that with other kids as well, but coordination for me is hard to predict.
And another athlete, just to bring up, Catherine Thiessen, who's is a pitcher as well. Part of her coordination issue was she grew 8 inches and her movements were different, but her mind hadn't caught up yet. And now it has, and she looks way more fluid.
Yeah.
Well, how much is the growth spurt and that coordination piece play together?
100%. That's where it all lies is, we grow again. The geeky science is you grow from the outside, right? We need a base of support. So our feet grow first because they got to support what's come above it. And so you get these long, lanky legs with long arms with this tiny little trunk in the middle and the same brain that they had, you know, and it just takes time for all of those things to start connecting. And again, the geeky science is that they're leverage, right? They're actual leverage. It's like you talk about choking up on the bat, opening your stance when you're going to hit, when you're down in the count, is all of those things are changing the mechanics to make you more effective in those situations. These kids have no choice. They've just grown these long legs and they don't know what to do with them. And it happens in the summer because we grow 60% of our height in summer months, like we grow in the sun.
Hmm. A little water, a little sunshine.
Yeah, that's a nice
theory. I've said that a lot.
Sadly, that's probably why I don't get to grow as much, is because our winters here are so long. Maybe that's why I stunted my growth. Is that what you're, is that your theory, Dean?
Well, it's kind of what I was thinking.
We all learned how to walk, and we can walk after puberty, and then get them to do these things backwards, and then knowing when to back off, right? It's like, hey, you just grew. You're having some difficulty. Let's take a step back and let's work on the basics again.
Bruce, I wanted to bring up, is there a risk in your mind of overtraining, especially at these younger ages?
The trick with overtraining is to set parameters and not... I always call it, you know, is you set them in a pen or do you give them a leash? And you want to give them a pen. In other words, the pen is the parameters that they get with. So at certain times, what they're going to do is they're going to wake up and say, I want you to do four of these things. And if they do all four of them, awesome. If they do two of them because they're too tired or this, then that's okay as well, because you're setting the parameters of growth and development. Because there's very few people that actually overtrain. What most people do is under-recover, right? So if you're out with you guys, you under-recover, right? Because it's late nights, early mornings, and then it's like, oh, why am I so tired? But the athlete has to remember, right? I've got to eat, I've got to sleep, I've got to do the drills, the skills, and everything to recover, because rest isn't recovery. Rest is a component of it, and active recovery is the key. So it's rare that you will get overtraining. The kids that get overtrained are usually driven by another force, that they're involved in too many, and everything has to be done at 100%.
Wow, that's an interesting perspective. So a couple of days off here and there, I guess, fellas, is that that's what we're looking for?
Better recovery.
Well, and just, but yeah.
And get to bed.
Yeah, have a good night's sleep. Yeah. You know, eat some food.
Exactly.
Yeah, have a nap. I nap all the time. Bruce.
Yeah, napping is key.
Oh, good. I think that's a great, that should be my slogan.
Yeah, no, that's usually, Donnie usually takes a nap on the bench, puts his head up against the wall when everybody's picking up the bonnets and stuff. So that's, he's used to that.
Yeah. I've become very good at avoiding work. It's good. Bruce,
why you're the manager at the radio station.
Yeah. I got people to work. I got people to do that for me. Yeah. That's why I had kids too. This is a bit of a loaded question, but in your mind, what are the things that an athlete needs to do to become high performance?
I think the biggest thing that athletes that want to become high performance is to recognize that they are a Jenga jigsaw puzzle, and that every piece in that jigsaw puzzle has a purpose that builds that Jenga block tower. And when you're building that tower, you got to pay way more attention, again, back at the basics at the bottom, which are all the things everybody wants to forget and doesn't want to spend the time on. And then as they build that tower, they need to make sure that it's dynamic, because, you know, you don't want to be the oak tree that when the hurricane comes, cracks and breaks, right? So you got to have that give. You got to be that palm tree that can take the stresses of life and float and move. So that Jenga block's got to be able to be dynamic in that sense. So they have to recognize that there's a lot of things that goes into high performance, and it's not just skill. And I would argue that skill is probably one of the least determining factors of high performance sport. It's like height is not a predictor of playing in the NBA because they're all tall. Right. So it's the skill set that is then has somebody that's willing to take the time to do the puzzle, build the tower, and work on it day in, day out. So what I tell all my, you know, I want to be an Olympian, is you kind of need to wake up in the morning and say, what am I going to do today to be an Olympian? And that's completing the program as best as you can.
I think we're 60 episodes in, and I don't think anyone's ever made a Jenga reference yet. That's a great reference.
That's a great reference. Yeah.
That's a fun game.
I don't know. I think it's a little bit beneath Bruce, really. He's a science geek, and he comes up with Jenga.
Yeah.
Frick, I'm awesome Jenga, at Jenga. Exactly. I do it every Christmas with the family. Like, give me a break.
I get crippling anxiety playing Jenga. Yeah. You touch a piece and it's not moving. That's a terrible spot to be in.
It's a hard, when you know it's coming down.
Nothing feels better than when you
poke. And it's got a shot glass on it, and it's the one that you have to have a drink after.
Oh, there you go.
Cutthroat Jenga.
There it is.
There maybe there isn't a better feeling in board games than when you poke a Jenga block that's in the middle and it just slides right out super nice. That's great.
Well, and you know that the next, there is no more like that.
That's it. Yeah. You just took the last one. Yeah.
But it's also double disappointing when your mom finds one that you didn't think was there, right? Mm-hmm. And then she moves. You know what I mean?
You guys are donkeys.
See, but that's where mothers know best.
Yeah, there you go. So, Bruce, I think then if to kind of bring that back past the reference and some of the stuff you're talking about, it's one of the things that we talk about is the core fundamental in our program is that you've got to put the work in. You know, the line, we use all these different lines. You know, the bat does not get better sitting in the bag, right? You've got to swing your bat. You've got to do these things. And I think that is probably where the reality kicks in, that just being a part of this program with your piece, with Carissa's piece on the mental side, with the training pieces from our instructors, with the exposure to the showcase tournaments, you know, all those different pieces that go in, all the reps, it really doesn't matter unless you're willing to put the work in. And that's not the work at practice and play, it's the work in between. Now, am I on the right track there?
100%. 100%. It's, and I would go a step further, is it's not about doing the work. It's about doing the work better. It's about working on your weakness more than the person that's working on their strength. Because it's your weakest link, right? It's back to Jenga. It's the weakest link in the Jenga tower that crumbles. And so it's working on your weaknesses. It's working better. It's working smarter, not necessarily harder sometimes, right? Because it's like when you're in the flow and you find, we'll go back to the Jenga and boom, it just goes. You've all been there where it's like, boy, I hit that ball and it didn't even feel like I was working hard. Or man, I had that best game and like I pitched like unbelievable. And no, because everything was smarter. It was working harder and smarter. And that's more doesn't mean more. It's more being better. And that's, I think, the trick with these kids as well. And I hope that that's what we'll be able to instill in them. It's not doing it 100 times and ticking it off that you did it 100 times. You did it 100 times with purpose. Mm-hmm. And that purpose might not be to throw a strike. The purpose might be to actually drive off your back leg with your hips turning and opening. And that's the drill. Because until you can do that, we're probably not going to get into our K position. Or it's like, I'm going to drive off my back foot with push when I'm hitting, and I'm not going to actually just, you know, quote unquote, squish a bug by just, you know, moving my foot. Like, I'm just going to really think about what are the drills that I'm trying to do and what's the end goal of them.
So, Bruce, some of our athletes, well, all of our athletes, part of it is knowing, like being self-aware of your body, knowing how to move in certain directions, being able to control that, knowing what you're doing. We do a lot of stuff on video because a lot of athletes, one, it's easier to see the mistakes or little things that we're going to tweak on video. But is there an age that that you would see kids where they start to become more self-aware of the movements that they can do, or is it just kind of everybody's a little bit different on when they, get a little bit better with that? Like, I think of the pitching motion, and it's like we try to create the same motion every time, right? Yeah. Like over and over. Even if there's something in that motion that isn't quite correct, it's a lot easier for coaches to pull that out and go, this is what we need to correct. If you have pitchers that do, I'm a real stickler for, they just go throw, and they're, one time they're pulling the ball out of their glove, the next time they're walking into it, the next time they're doing this, I don't want that. I want them to do the exact same motion over and over and over again until they're sick of it, so that when they make that transition onto the hill, now I got to pause, that kind of stuff. But I mean, that's all comes back to being self-aware and being able to know how to manipulate your body to do whatever it is you're trying to do. Is there an age, or is it just everybody's a little different?
The easy answer is depends, and everybody's different. But I think that the commonality that exists in kids is that kids, before they grow, are more likely to be able to learn a skill more quickly and be able to get more awareness through appropriate feedback than somebody that's already growing. Because once they're already growing, everything's different, and everything's different for a 1 to 2 year period. But once they learn how to do something, then it's just, again, it's just ingraining it. And I think one of the things that you guys do that you do really well as coaches, so this is my pump up for your coaching, is you actually let the kids become self-aware and self-monitor their own successes. And again, geeky science, the only way you get neuroplasticity is when you self-select your own reward. And I'm going to give you a geeky science thing for this is you take Navy SEALs, they don't get kicked out. They self-select out. And the way they do it is they hit all of the buttons that tell them you're not very good. They make them sleep deprived. They make them cold. They give them non-time limited tasks. In other words, you're going to sit in the wave breaks, hold on to this log. That's the task. And they've done a lot of research to show that the people that are successful in that is that they internally go, okay, I've got this. Okay, that was the third wave. I've got this. That's another three waves. I've got this. And even in the pandemic, there was a case in Saskatoon where the person actually watched the clock, and every minute she said, I can breathe on my own for one more minute. I can breathe on my own for one more minute. It was self-rewarding. The kid that's out there and going, oh my gosh, I'm cold, I'm tired, I have no idea when this is going to end, I'm out. Mm-hmm. And kids have to learn that. And so that self-awareness, you start at a very early age when you say, okay, how did you do with that drill? I did that right. Yes, you did. Awesome work. They're self-aware of their own successes. And you guys do that great in your coaching. You're not always just like, you did that wrong. You did that wrong. You did that wrong. Because that doesn't work.
Yeah.
So the self-awareness is critical, and it can happen at a very early age. All of us at this table, right? It's a little harder because our brains aren't as, plastic anymore. But those little kids, so these youngest group, and that's why it's so critical. I really want to target them right at the very beginning of, like, you've got to learn these basic, I can do this skill and I can do it well with self-awareness and self-direction. And video is the best. I look at it. That was right. That's what the coach told me to look like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bruce, just one last question before we get into our parting shots and our wrap up. I guess looking forward into the fall of 2021, and hopefully the world is spinning on the right axis and we get going here. Maybe give some of our listeners that could be new to the program or some of the ones that are coming back to the program, maybe just give them a little bit of a taste of what they have to look forward to going into the fall season as far as how you're going to work with our teams.
Yeah, you bet. First of all, super excited. Like the twos is one of my gimmies, the thing that I've spent the most time on. Our goal, we're going to be on field, right? We're going to have physios at the field during your training weekends for periods of times so that if you're hurt, we're managing it and we're keeping you on the field practicing and playing. Our goal is to be able to work with the coaching staff so that we can talk about shin angle on the field. We can talk about hip rotation on the field. We can talk about axis of rotation on the field. And then the kids will get to go to the weight room training facility and actually work on how do I get better at those skills? How do I get so that I can attain it? How do I make my Jenga block? And then how do I get stronger so that I can apply force in the right direction and do the skills? And then with modern era and the joys of our going is we're going to have touch points. So we're going to hopefully touch point between camps with the kids via Google Meet so we can say, hey, let's see your drill and then give them the feedback of, yeah, you're on the right track. Oh, what do you feel about this? Okay, let's think about how we're going to correct that so that they're not going month to month where they're not having touch points, providing monitoring opportunities for them. Again, being super involved with the coaching staff and integrating with the mental side so that it's the whole package. It's the whole block moving forward.
Awesome. Yeah, we're excited too. It's
can't wait.
We're can't constantly wait. Trying to improve the program, and I think you coming on board with your team, you know, it's not only Bruce coming, it's the whole team coming, right? So that's awesome for us. Adding Carissa on the mental side is going to be huge too. So I think it's going to be an amazing year to start this, and I think the younger kids in our program are really going to see the huge benefits as they move through. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's exciting time for all the athletes to see all the assets that they have at their disposal working for them. So we kind of talk about making the team is just the entry point. Now the work starts, right? And the training starts. So that's a great job. So let's get into parting shots. We briefed Bruce offline about you can go one of two directions here. I'm going to let him sit on his for a minute, and we're going to start with Dino.
Okay. Well, just using your own words, Bruce, you know, at the beginning of the show there, you touched a little bit, you know, that you were a hockey guy and growing up and kind of realizing that maybe your slap shot wasn't quite as good as the next guy's. And so you decided to go get your schooling and become the geeky science guy that you are. I'm really, really thankful you did that. So I think it's going to be a real benefit for our program. I think we're, we're just touching the very beginning of where actually this is going to go. And like I say, we're really excited to have you on board. And so thanks for being that geeky science guy and figuring out maybe your slap shot wasn't what it needed to be.
But if he had gone to school prior to quitting hockey, he probably could have figured out why his slap shot wasn't very
well. That's so good. That's good because otherwise he'd have been there. In the NHL
that's right.
or something.
That's
so.
Right.
But I guess the question would be: would you rather have a good slap shot or a Masters? And I think maybe he's went the right route. Yeah.
Well,
yeah. Maybe
there's some pretty good slap shots making some pretty good coin in
no,
the NHL.
Sure.
I would
yeah, think. You're right.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
Tosh.
Yeah. Except I was a goalie. I had to stop all those slap shots.
So your slap shot was especially
terrible.
You know what?
That explains a whole bunch.
Yeah, it sure does. Yeah. Like
exactly.
Yeah.
See, back in the day, I got too many shots in the head with just a thin piece of fiberglass covering it.
Oh my god!
How much technology has come a long way, and that's nice.
That is funny.
All right, Tosh.
Yeah, so we're going to go a little bit off script here. First off, thanks, Bruce, for coming on, and we're really looking forward to all the stuff obviously. Craven Sports Services has to offer, but I the thing that I like about you as well, working with you, is you know the sport. Like I'm listening to the terms and that you're saying, you know, you're talking about pop times and you're talking about different stuff, and that's really cool because you understand the sport. And with Carissa, she understands the sport as well because she played it as well. Blah blah blah. So that's awesome. So thank you very much for coming on.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And here it comes.
Here, no, it's not a shot at Bruce. We're actually taking a duo shot at Donnie.
Here we go.
Yeah, we came across some information in talking to some of the parents. And Donnie
has a nickname.
Has a new nickname.
Is that right?
That we did not know about. And we decided, Dean and I decided this morning, we're going to call him Walt. And the reason we're going to call him Walt is because there's parents in our program that refer to him as Disneyland Donnie.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't mind that.
Because he is all sunshine and rainbows. He is Disneyland Donnie.
There's no rain in Disneyland.
No, there's no rain in Disneyland. It never rains in Disneyland.
I'll take that all day. That's great.
So we're going with Walt.
Yeah, fantastic. Hey, Walt.
It's the happiest place on earth.
Yes, it is.
It is.
Yes,
this it office, is. Donnie's office, is one of the happiest places for sure.
Why? I appreciate that. I was supposed to be a shot, but I take that and I wear it well. That's great. So, and yeah. Okay. So mine isn't really a shot. I guess it's a shot at me too, which is not great. I'm getting picked on here. But so I do lift weights quite a bit. And my theory has always been just put as much on as you can and push as hard as you can and then leave. And so I'm excited to actually learn the proper techniques and see if it's going to work for me. Even an old cat like me is going to try and figure out some new explosive moves.
As long as you can get in the position, but
right.
Yeah.
I mostly do bench press and I mostly do like the
lean up against the wall press.
Yeah. So I'm excited to actually see, even watching as an instructor, how this is going to impact the athletes and how their movements will improve and their strength's going to improve and their speed's going to improve. So again, Tosh, thank you. Thank you for coming on the cast. Thank you for joining the family. Awesome to have you. So with that being said, I have been shot at twice, so hopefully your parting shot isn't directed solely at me. And the floor is yours.
All right, Donnie. Well, so for that one time in your life where you're lying on your back and you need to get a heavy weight off your chest, you'll be ready to roll.
That's right. That's right. Bruce, and just to give you some background, what if someone has to lift a car off a baby? I'm your guy. I'll get in there and do it.
As long as you're laying under the car.
Yeah, well, I can't get under it. Yeah. It's got to be a perfect scenario, guys, but I just want to be ready for that.
That's Disneyland's newest attraction.
Oh, gosh.
I'd like to find out who the parents were that referred to me.
No,
as that,
we can't. Right? They will remain anonymous. Mm-hmm. We promise that. Yeah.
Well, all right.
Anyways, back
I'm
to
gonna go kind of off of Dino's thing, and I'm just gonna my parting words is, like, in our clinic, we have a saying right on the wall is train smarter so you can play harder, and it's kind of that connection between, you know, the science and the sport, and that's really, you know, where I've kind of meld, and I'll go to right at the very beginning of like 40 sports that I've kind of worked with is that they're all pretty similar if you can get them going in the right direction, because the shoulder only does so many things. The hip only does so many things. And at the end of the day, if it's not happening in the brain, it's not happening. So you've got to come at it from that smart perspective. And then I also truly believe that we're trying to create habits, and habits are really things that you do all the time. And we want to create habits that are purposeful. We want to create habits that are based on the skills that we're trying to teach these kids to do, from, you know, sleeping to eating to being able to hit the ball, steal a base, et cetera. So we want to teach them that they are what they repeatedly do. And we want to make them great actors with great habits, not just great actors. So we want to have the habits. We want them to be smart and thinking and do the basics better.
Awesome. That's fantastic. Cool. Very good ending right there. Thanks for not poking at me all the time. That's great. Bruce, we look forward to seeing you in the complex and out in the diamonds.
Yeah, you bet.
Say goodnight.
In the dust with Tosh and some books.
That's the first time the say goodnight, Donnie's been preempted by the guest jumping in.
Yeah. That's all right.
Should we try that again?
I think so.
Say goodnight, Donnie.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to Tues Talk. New episodes weekly on Tuesdays. For more info, visit myloydminsternow.com or subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.